Today we're going to talk about financial counseling, and so as we look at it, so let's ask a couple of questions. Who needs money? How many of you would prefer to live in the 24th century like you're in Star Trek and they don't even use money? That'd be a lot better, wouldn't it? Just everything's provided for you. You don't have to have any financial transactions. That would be a good thing, but it's not realistic either. But then let's ask the question. They ask the question, do we need money? Well, think about that when we ask, how do we use the word need? So a lot of times we use the word need in place of the word want. And one of the things we're going to talk a lot about today is what is that telling us about our heart and how we're handling things? And so we're going to look at it and just consider how that goes through. For example, if I were financially independent in many ways, and I could walk around and give each one of you $1,000 to spend, but you needed to tell me how you were going to use that $1,000, how many different answers would we get? We'd get a lot of different answers, wouldn't we? We'd get folks who were looking at it and say, you know, I'm gonna use that well. I'm going to give it away. Some might say, well, I'm just going to take it home, put it in the coffee can. Some might spend it immediately because I've got it, and if I don't use it right now, it might go away. Or they might do calculated investments, growing it. But maybe they're taking wild chances and you're looking at something. I'll share with you, this is one of those crazy ideas back when I was much younger. But it was my older brother, Ron, who actually discovered what was the opportunity. Okay? And it was back in about 2003 when everything overseas, and particularly in Iraq as a nation was very much in turmoil, but there were a lot of people talking about how their currency was going to reset and go up by thousands of percentage. And so my brother, he found an avenue to go in. So you're going, okay, if you buy 1 million Iraqi dinari, it's just a matter of months and it will be worth, because 1 million Iraqi dinari at the time was worth about $900. But in a matter of months, the predictions by these people were that it would grow into millions. What could you do with millions? And, you know, I looked at that one and I listened to brother. I love my brother dearly. And I was like, I was skeptical. But at the same time, I looked at it and said, you know what? I've got $900 sitting there. So why not? So do you know what's in my safe at home? A FedEx envelope with 1,000 or 1 million Iraqi dinari that's worth about $800. So, and I haven't looked at it in years and I really have no idea. It's kind of a novelty and I keep it there just because it reminds me of past decisions and how do we make them? How do we walk through those things? Because today we're going to talk about some things about how do we make decisions regarding finance? What is it that's coming into our heart and how do we walk through that? We're going to ask questions about when we are making decisions about finances, it's not so much about the what as it is about the why. Why do you want that? Why does that decision, what is that decision telling us about our hearts? Go back to tracks 1 and 2 and just do all the sessions on the desires of the heart, right? Finances are going to be another area that's going to help unpack what's going on in the heart. And so whether it's for ourselves or whether we're working with counselees, we're going to find that these are amazing indicators. So they're going to tell us, is this something that you love? Is this something that I love so much that I'm going to commit my finances, regardless of the impacts on other things, to this thing? And then we walk in that and we go, okay. But then you start asking ourselves, am I loving that thing so much that I'm loving it and using my finances here more than I'm loving the Lord and using my finances to love the Lord? That's where we're going to talk about today, because every financial decision is a worship decision. Everything that we spend upon tells me something that I am valuing, something that I'm loving, something that I'm worshiping. And so when we walk in that and we ask ourselves, how are we then going to look at God's word and continue our way through? Which is why today we're going to look at 7 connections between the gospel and finances. Because if we're going to say that every decision is a worship decision, then we also need to look at the truths that begin to help us to see how we consider our money. Because Money is just that something that maybe it's in my wallet. Maybe it's that number that shows up on the bank statement. Maybe it's that stuff that's sitting in a FedEx envelope in your safe that's sitting there. Is it really any good? It's not. I mean, that FedEx envelope is simply a bunch of paper in a safe. Does it have any value? Not really, does it? Because money is not about the actual item itself. Money represents what can we get with it? What can we do with it? How do we use it? And how do we honor God with it, which is where we eventually want to go. One of the things we do here at Faith Church is each year in the last 4 weeks prior to Thanksgiving, we walk through, and they've done this since the time of Pastor Bill Good, the stewardship month. And we talk about stewardship. And a lot of times when people think about stewardship, they look at our church and they go, oh, okay, it's money month, right? So we're going to talk about money, and then you're going to ask us to give a whole bunch more. But the reality is stewardship, when we think about it, is so much more than just finances. Stewardship is about our time. It's about our relationships. It's about our disciplines. It's about our serving. It's about all of these things. And it's also about money. So we can't, because we don't want to be, we don't want to be a church that only talks about money, but we need to also be a church that speaks truth about what God's word says, because God's word does talk about our finances. It does talk about how we should steward our finances. And so one of those first connections between the gospel and finances, we need to understand that your counselees are stewards of the finances that God has given them. Now, using the principles, if we were to go through Matthew 25, 14 to 30, we'd find these principles that break out from the parable of the talents as we walk through. And we'd come to four principles. So if you're with Faith, you've probably already got these memorized. I would actually encourage you, you've all got these in your notes, and this is something that you can carry forward. This is something you can work with counselees on as well, is understanding. We begin by saying that God owns everything and I own nothing. How true is that? He created the universe. He's sovereign over it all, and so therefore, He has the authority. He has more than the authority. He owns it. It is His. That includes me. That includes my body. That includes everything that I have, including the money that's in my bank account. There's no transaction that you look in the Bible and says, well, at some point, God gave up the authority over that and said, that's no longer mine, and it's yours. And you're going to see that even in your counseling, particularly in the area of marriage, when you start talking about how do a husband and wife even talk about finances? Have you ever heard a husband and wife that they talk about there's my money, there's her money, and there's our money? That's telling you something. It's also telling you something associated with how do they see it as God's money and God's resource, because God owns everything and I own nothing. Of course, then when he does give it to me, I'm supposed to do something with it, right? And so God entrusts me with everything that I have. He's given it to us to do something. Think about the parables of the talents. The servant who was given five talents went out, and he immediately used those five talents to grow it to the point where he came back, and when the master came back, he had 10. He'd been entrusted with five, and he did something with it. The servant with two used those two. He was entrusted with those two, and he came to four. Remember how the response was for those two servants. It was the same. Well done, good and faithful servant. Because God entrusted them with what they had. Not, well, I'm going to entrust you, and I expect a whole lot more, but you only have this, but you have all this. No, he trusts us just with what he's given us. And that's how we're supposed to walk. And even the servant with one talent had still the same expectation from his master on what he would do with it. God entrusts us with everything that we have. And as we just described in the servant's responses, we too are responsible to increase what God has given us. Now we can look in finances, that becomes a very tangible way to look.